It withered away. Other seeds fell on the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it out, and it yielded no crop. Other seed fell on good soil, and it grew and it increased. 30, 60, 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Look what happens now. Jesus leaves the multitude. He comes down, starting at verse 10. The multitude, okay? Listen to this. As soon as he was alone with his followers, the 12 began asking him about the parables. And he says, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, get everything in parables. Verse 12. So that while seeing, they may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. Wow. What did Jesus just say? What would cause you in this parable to hear, to see, to perceive, to understand? What is it that Jesus is saying to you that would cause you to follow him so that you might be forgiven? I asked myself that question. I did this in a devotional myself, and I got down on my knees, and I'm going, Lord, what is your saying? I understand seed and where it falls and rocky ground, and I understand that. They heard it. The disciples and the followers didn't. That's why they were questioning Jesus after the fact. And he says, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. What do you hear? What do you hear? I think this mystery from verse 11 might be a bigger issue with us as believers than we realize. Because doesn't God call, Jesus call all men to himself? But if he calls all men to himself, how come they don't come back? Followers, why don't, he would forgive them. So what did you not hear? How many times have you heard the parable? Seeing and not perceive, hearing and not understand. Are you following Jesus? You know, I have rocky ground in my life. Thank goodness. Before I came to know Christ, that somebody cultivated something in my life, spent time, shared, before I even understood the salvation message of Jesus Christ. Thank goodness there was some soft, cultivated ground that had been done by somebody who I do know who they are in my life. Who was it in your life? I'm sure you all have an answer if you've accepted Christ. Problem is, we have rocky ground still in our lives. We still have weeds coming up. There are people out there that try to take the seed from you. From there, I went back, and I mentioned this, I think, the last time I preached to you about reading the Bible backward. And I do, and I did the same thing during this parable. Because it brings up another question. So back to, I flipped my Bible shut. Back to Mark. Chapter 4, listen to this. Another crowd was by Jesus. Okay? Starting at verse 32. A crowd was sitting around him and said to him, "Behold, your mother and your brother are outside looking for you." Answering them, he said this, "Who are my mother and brothers?" I add the word sisters too. Looking about all those that were sitting around him, he said, "Behold, my mothers and my brothers and sisters." What is it going to take if you met Jesus today for him to call you your mother, your brother, your sister, to have that intimacy with Christ? This is what he says in verse 35. "He whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister." Luke's account of the exact same thing, Luke says, "Whoever hears the word of God and does it is my brother and sister." Wow. My brother and my sister, the sower and the seed, cause me to think about the Spirit. Now, my mom used to say, "Dana, you're full of it." You ever been told you were full of it? She wasn't talking about the Spirit when my mother told me this. Also, if my mom and dad walked through that door, or my brother and my sister walked through that door, came in, I would go meet them and find them a place to sit. That's not what Jesus did. That just kind of blows me away, that we can have that intimacy and that relationship with him that way. So in my devotion, because I meditate and I think about it, who is my brother and my sister? I'm 65 years old. If I live to be 100, I have 35 years left. You guys do the math for yourself. One way or another, I am either going to go meet him or he's coming to get me. Will he call me brother? Jesus, Lord, God, God Almighty. Is he going to call me brother? Is he going to call you sister? Is he going to call you mom? Boy, will I be honored if he calls me brother, because of the closeness and the intimacy with Christ. So, where does that take you? It took me to Galatians. You've all heard the fruits of the Spirit, have you not? Listen to this. Go to Galatians, because we're going to go to Galatians. I should have this written out or bookmarked. Galatians 5, 22, 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Pretty good, right? Do you walk in the Spirit? At the beginning, at verse 16, it says, "But I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." Man, when I look at the fruits of the Spirit, it's like taking a litmus test. If I have diabetes, you go take a blood test to see how your blood sugar's doing. As Christians, we have a litmus test that allows us to say, "Hey, how are we doing? Man, I'm doing pretty good. I am experiencing self-control. I understand love. I understand joy. I have joy and peace in life, even when everything else fails. I can still, you know, God calls this the fruit of the Spirit. It's the very attribute of who God is. Many of you might say, question what's in the scripture from time to time. Cleanliness next to godliness, is it there? Is it in the scripture? Yes, no? Huh? I'm seeing some head shake. Do you know, or are you just guessing? No, I don't want to say anything because I... Is it? No, it's not there. How about this one? This is a little bit more serious. God is love. Can you give me a verse? You say it's there. We've heard it for years. We know it's a fruit. For God so loved the world. But that doesn't say God is love. It is in the Bible, by the way. You'll find it in 1 John. It says God is love. The fact is that these very attributes of the fruits of the Spirit is in God's word. It's who he is. If anybody asks you, who is God? God is love, joy. God is joy. God is peace. God is patience. And those are attributes that we can have. And we can say, man, I can look at this and I can say, man, I've got this in my life. This is pretty good. It sounds good. I know I'm right with God. I know it's relevant in my life. And I know I have it. And I know because of that, up in verse 16, when it says, I walk in the Spirit, I am walking in the Spirit. I'm not walking in the Spirit just Sunday morning up here talking to you. I'm walking Monday. I'm walking Tuesday. The problem is most of us put the Spirit to the side in the meantime. And I'm going to show it to you. Because what does it say about the Spirit? Look at this. But I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Ooh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are in opposition to one another. I'm not telling you anything new. You haven't read it before. But have you really understood it? Verse 18. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. We know that. And then it goes on to say, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Immorality. Well, for the most part, I do pretty good. Impurity. Sensuality. Idolatry. Not a problem. Sorcery. Not a problem. I'm talking about myself. Enmities. Ooh. Underline that word. Strife. Jealousy. Outbursts of anger. Disputes. Dissensions. Factions. Factions. Underline that word. What is factions? Anybody got an idea? Have you ever heard of factions in regard to this? I've never heard that word until I started reading it. Factions? What are factions? So I went to an ungodly source to find out what factions are. You want to hear it? Google. Right? Let me log into this. Let me show you something. factions. This is what it says in what would be a dictionary. It says, a small organized dissenting group with a larger one, especially in politics. Does that not sound right? But listen to the synonyms. Factions. Put this in a godly perspective. Get it out of government. Let's put this in a godly, personal. Factions. These are the synonyms. Infighting. Dissension. Dissent. Dispute. Discord. Strife. Argument. Disagreement. Controversy. Quarreling. Wrangling. Bickering, squabbling, falling out, debate, division, clashing, turbulence, upheaval, rebellion, sedition. Oh, that's a new word. That's one that's hit our political scene. Sedition, as they talk about Jews and mutiny. Are you experiencing strife in your life? Is there conflict between, I always start at the home. Is there conflict in the home? Is there conflict in the workplace? Is there conflict in your social relevance? Because if there is, you're walking in the flesh. Matthew chapter 6 says something really interesting. You want to walk in the Spirit? Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. We usually put that to receiving Christ. But all of us are a plot of ground. We've all been cultivated, and we all have those rocky spaces in our life, and we all have those weeds that are coming up. It's time for us to deal with some of the things that we don't like to deal with instead of just because we are not experiencing walking in the Spirit. We are not experiencing being full in the Spirit or being in the Spirit to the point where the apostles and the disciples, as Jesus Christ died, where they came and they were healing and there was miracles, and there should be miracles happening in our lives. You may not be asking somebody to lame. Peter and John went into the synagogue and the church on, I'm assuming it's on a Sunday because we worship on Sunday, generally speaking. And there's a lame man there and he's asking for alms. And what does Peter say to him? You can read this in Acts. He says, I do not have money to give you. But what I do have, I give freely through Jesus Christ. Each of us have got an experience and a life and something that we can give other people because of our experiences, because of what Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit has given you, to be able to take that man and say, get up and walk. But we don't test our faith that way. We don't use the litmus test. And because of the sin, the factions in our life, the enmities in our lives, and the lack of confession, because what does the scripture say? If you confess your sin, and I hate calling it sin because for me, it's selfishness. For me, it's not putting love out there. That's being vulnerable. So you've got to be able to confess the sin in your life and call it for what it is. Don't call it for sin. Say, Lord, forgive me. I have sinned. He knows you have sinned. What have you sinned? Because if you don't repent of the sin, selfishness, idolatry, immorality, strife, remember the fruit of the Spirit? Self-control, driving the car, the attitude with you and your spouse in the house. Can you cut the air with a knife? You got to get it out of your life. The relationship between you and your spouse, and I think most everybody here might be married or is married, but when you It says it hinders our prayers. And when if it hinders your prayers, it hinders your relationship with who Jesus Christ is. You have to learn to walk in the Spirit, and the only way to do it is through confession. You need to seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and it'll door. I've been asking for about the last 6 months because I've been studying and reading this stuff, and I've been asking God. So I know I walk in the Spirit. I know I have the Spirit in me, and I am full of the Spirit. And not because I'm up here preaching. And you may not see this in me in everyday living, because why? No, as iron sharpeneth iron, so one man sharpens another, right? I am not rubbing shoulders with most of you during the week. I have, from time to time, rubbed shoulders with you. Some of you know my heart. So when I tell you this walking in the Spirit, full of the Spirit, I have the Spirit in me. We teach that when you receive Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, but most of us are not leaning on the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you about another guy. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts. This one, anybody ever hear of Simon the Magician? Yes, no? Okay, Simon the Magician, is in the book of Acts. He happens to live in Samaria. What do we know about Samaria and the Jews? They didn't get along. That's why it was so odd when Jesus went to the woman at the well. That was in Samaria. What are you doing talking to me? Don't you know I'm a Samaritan? And Jews, what are you even doing here at the well? Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 9. Now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from the smallest to the greatest, were giving attention to him, because this man, giving attention to him, saying, this man, we're giving attention, is called the great power of God. And they were giving him attention because of his long time of astonishing them with the magic arts. Now you got Philip that comes on. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Verse 13, even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip as he observed the signs of great miracles and things that are taking place, and he was constantly amazed. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. The word of God went out. Simon was now being overshadowed by Philip with his preaching of the word of God, that he was amazed, and it says that he was following him around. Simon says he believed, and he received. He loved showmanship. He loved the attention of that. So now you got Peter and John who comes down. And look what happens. Starting at verse 15, I'm backing up a little bit. Who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen on them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now Simon saw this. He saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on hands of the apostles' hands, and he offered them, money. Wanted to buy it. Saying, give this authority to me as well as to everyone on whom I lay my hands on, that they may receive the Holy Spirit. Wow. I believe, I receive. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? That was a question I asked myself. How come it's not prevalent? How come I don't see the glory of that? How come? Because I don't use it. Because I don't lean on my own understanding. When somebody's sick, when somebody's hurting, when somebody's driving down the road and the anger shows up, I lean on my own understanding. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit. You need to learn to have the Spirit in you. If all you're doing is walking in the flesh, that's your litmus test. Because I have love, I have joy, peace, patience, and I think I'm doing pretty good. And I realize I have sin to confess. Probably one of the biggest things that are lacking in the Christian walk is people on their knees asking for forgiveness. And if they do, they ask for forgiveness for the sin in their lives instead of calling it out. Learn to walk in the Spirit. Learn to walk in the flesh. It's more than just believing and being baptized. I can sit up here and I can preach from the pulpit. And I can tell you I am baptized. It does not mean that I'm saved. I can teach Sunday school. I can teach young kids and I can tell them about God, and it does not mean that I am saved. I'm not here to question your salvation, because I know most of you and I know you're saved. And I know most of you have the Holy Spirit. We just don't seek it. We just don't pray. Be intentional. Walk. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, today I'm walking with you. Oh, sure, I'm going to get focused over here doing whatever I'm doing. But he's with me. He's walking with me. He's going there. When I get there and I'm talking to somebody, and then all of a sudden I just have this urge to tell them about Jesus being surrounded by a crowd. His mom and his dad come out. Is he going to call you brother? Is he going to call you sister? Yeah. Oh, I wait for that. This Holy Spirit thing, we don't put enough emphasis on it, I believe, in our Christian circles. I know that there are those that have the Holy Spirit in them. It shows it. You can hear it in their conversations. There's no distinguish. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, this is the air I breathe. I don't know if you've got that on there. Jim, do you still have that? Can you play that? Listen to this. Michael W. Smith. His second phrase is, this is the air I breathe, his holy presence. I like to think of it as his Holy Spirit. Sing with it if you want to. Meditate on what he's saying. Meditate on the song. Hear it.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence, living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I
many of you are hungry for God. Are you hungry for Him?
Are you hungry for God? Walk in the Spirit. Be full of the Spirit. The way to do it is to be in the Word. Prayer and meditation. God is speaking to you. Some of us have some rocky ground to deal with that needs to be cultivated. Some of us are living in the weeds. Walk in the Spirit. There's nothing better. Forgiveness, grace, mercy, righteousness. Pass it on. May God bless you guys. May you seek Him out through all the days of your life. You're going to either meet Him or He's coming to you. Brother, sister, mother. God bless you guys. Have a great day.